This call is being recorded.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to the call. Your father, big brother, and Uncle HS all give you their love, and I give you my peace. Let's begin in prayer. Father of love, we come before you and we say thank you for arranging this day for us. It's been a month since we've been together as a team, but much has taken place for all of us. And you are always there watching over and giving us what we need to get through our lives. We celebrate different things that have taken place as well, and we are thankful for all the blessings you've given us, but also the trials and the tribulations that are there to help us move forward in our faith. See the hearts that have gathered here. We pray that you will now take from everybody anything that concerns them that might get in the way, that bears heavy on their hearts, that it doesn't impact this meeting, that we can listen attentively and closely. You three are here with us, and we appreciate that. And we pray, Father, that you will guide our conversation, that you'll spark our hearts, that you'll build within us the guardian that we need to be to support mankind, to help bring them home, that too, Father, all of us can be found worthy on the day when Jesus is sent. Provide for our leadership. We pray too, Father, if there's something we've forgotten, that you'll cover it. And as always, according to what we ask and in your name we pray, please hear us. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
I asked Starlight that if I fade out at any time, even during the message that I'm reading, that she would speak up. But if you beat her to the punch, please do, because I don't want anybody to miss anything. I did have Sprint actually send me a cell booster. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but whatever. Let's see how it goes. So I met with Father this week, and he said, "Dear team, smile. Your father loves you. Perhaps you are exhausted from the past day's trials and tests. Yes, I gave you strength. Maybe you thought these trials were too much to bear. Not the case, beloved, for everything is weighed before it is dispensed. Every soul is measured to see if it can withstand the test. All of you have been through much. And the nice thing is that when one of you is struggling, the team pulls together and supports the one that may be suffering. Trialand will expound on these things. The one thing I can tell you is that everything that I put you through is
cut out.
There he is. I'm cutting out. All right.
Yeah, we didn't hear you.
Nope.
Is what?
From where?
Is
everything I put you through is.
Okay, hold on a minute.
That's weird.
Crazy. All right, let me see.
Don't move your head.
All right. The one thing I can tell you is that everything that I put you through is to eventually help mankind. It is important that all of you have empathy in certain areas so that you can relate. This is not new to you. I just wanted to remind you. There has been much going on inside of you. There is growth. There is understanding, and there is a new depth of faith in all of you. I am proud of you for staying the course. Many of you have become more active this past month. Thank you. It is important that you stay busy and continue to hone your skills with giving healings, counseling, and supporting others. Well done. And do not neglect get a healing. Okay. From where?
Do not neglect.
Okay. Do not neglect yourself. Get a healing if you need one from your fellow guardian. Do not short yourself. This is all I wanted to share with you for now. I love you. Does anybody have any questions? Comments? Concerns? Okay.
It's one of the shorter ones we've heard from Father lately.
Isn't it? I kind of looked at him and he went, "That is all." Fine.
He didn't want to troll on about like how the weather is up there or anything like that?
Apparently not, and he wasn't interested in giving any of us a spanking, which was good. So, you know, this is what we get.
Yes, appreciate that.
So, Atmos, we have you now on the recording. So how is Mama? How are the boys? You already kind of reiterated a little bit, but I don't think everybody was on the call yet. So I'm going to ask you to say something again, and then I'm going to let you lead into the religions part also when you're done. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. Danielle and babies are doing great. We were concerned, of course, about Hirschsprung's issue that we had with Jeremiah when he was born, but both of them are super healthy, passed all their tests with flying colors. At their circumcisions, and we were out in 3 days. Mom had a C-section. She's doing wonderful. She's managing pain with Tylenol and Motrin, so she's doing super good there. Everybody's happy and healthy, and we're super excited. The boys are eating and sleeping and pooping, doing what they should be doing, so it's been great.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. We're excited. It's been a lot of work already, but we'll get through it.
Only 18 more years.
Yeah, right. looking forward to it though. They're awesome. It's been great so far, and we've had a lot as well. So we're very thankful for that too. So this week's religion learning is on Anglicanism, so the Anglican Church. Let's see. I shared a document with Fred already that I'm reading all this information off of. And just like the last month, he'll put it out on the site for us. And when you go into the document, you'll see it has links to all sorts of things. So you can get to the religion's main website where I got this information from. And then there's also different links to their different documents for creeds and their beliefs and the different articles and things that they have out there around their beliefs and their faith. So the Anglican Church is a split off of the Catholic Church. It has many similarities, but there's definitely some differences too. They believe in the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. I think that's how you pronounce it. That creed dictates full belief in the Catholic faith or salvation cannot be attained. So they still have some very, very core relationship with the Catholic Church. Unique to Anglicanism is the Book of Common Prayer, the BCP, they call it. It's the collection of services that worshipers in most Anglican churches use for centuries. It's also known as one of the documents that binds the church across the globe together. So this is one of the documents that kind of binds them and keeps their services similar, much the way we do with the way we hold services and the way services flow. This specific book is how they run their services. Each country has their own specific book, but the core theme of the book remains across the entire world. They have 39 articles, a document called the 39 Articles. It's the declarations of the overall core beliefs. The 16th century homily, this is a sermon that was many sermons written by and recorded by the Church of England, which is where the Anglican Church was founded and originated, was once they broke off from the Catholic Church. It was known as the Church of England for some time. Then they have the Chicago Lambeth Quadrilateral. This was the first formulated in Chicago in 1886 and then amended and formally adopted by the Lambeth Conference of 1888. It is considered an important touchstone text defining Anglican identity. Its four clauses refer to the acceptance of Holy Scripture as the rule of faith, the Apostles and the Nicene Creeds, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and the role of bishops in leading and governing the church. The catechism, which appears in the 1662 Book of Common Prayer, so the BCP, they have their catechism inside that. They do have a modern catechism. They call it the modern catechism for the Church of England. And then South Africa has some little bit different catechism that they have written for themselves. So one of the things that they do is they believe in ecumenical dialogues, which is the sharing of learnings between all Christian faiths to establish a Christian unity. So one of the big beliefs in the Anglican Church is that they believe that if they share their knowledge and their theology with the Jewish faith, or they share it with the Catholic faith, or the Christian, or the Lutheran faith. You know, they reach out to all sects of the Christian faith and try to learn as much as they can from each other and teach as much as they can from what they've learned to other Christians to kind of help learn as much as possible. So that's one of the big things the Anglican Church does that kind of breaks them away from the Catholic Church. Some of the processes. a lot of similarities with the Catholic Church. There's confessions and absolution. There's confirmation, matrimony, holy orders, and holy unction. This is where the Church of England or the Anglican Church differs from the Catholic Church, though. The Catholic Church considers all that I just mentioned sacraments, not processes. So that's where they differ. They believe in baptism, of course. There's a lot of information there. It does differ a little bit from the Catholic Church, but not too much. The Eucharist. So the Eucharist is the means by which Christ becomes present to the Christian community gathered in his name. It is the central act of gathered worship, renewing the body of Christ as the church through the reception of the body of Christ as the blessed sacrament, his spiritual body and blood. So they believe that in transubstantiation. In the sacrament, Christ is both encountered and incorporated. As such, the Eucharist action looks backward as a memorial of Christ's sacrifice, forward as a foretaste of heavenly banquet, and to the present as an incarnation of Christ in the lives of the community and the individual believers. I thought that was kind of interesting the way they said it. They kind of went back the past, out to the future when we're all at the banquet, and then currently where Christ is with us. And that really is kind of the core of the Anglican Church. You could probably look at their website and say how it looks a lot like the Catholic Church. They have a leader that dresses like the Pope. All their leaders, you wouldn't know that they weren't Catholic by the way they dress. So that's rather interesting. But like I said, plenty of links, plenty of information in the document that I shared with Fred. If you have any more questions, please feel free to visit that document or even reach out to me. I'll probably refer back to the website when you ask me a question. So that's about it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Q has two experiences that he would like to share with you. Q?
Okay, the first one. I held a service today in Grand Haven, and it's been probably 3 weeks, maybe longer, maybe 4 weeks since I've held service. In preparing for the service last evening, the service, we were all there, so you heard the word, it was nice, but it talked about Jesus being baptized in a specific baptism. And basically, that is the baptism of suffering and death. And as I was preparing, I was reading catechism, and after I finished reading about baptism in the catechism booklet, got to the last line, it was basically talking about baptism is immersion, and it's water is part of it, and so it's like the washing away of the sins with water, and it used to be done with full immersion. And I got done reading that, and I remembered what Bob told us. He had an experience. At this time, his faith was never really weak, but he wasn't attending services regularly. And he was sitting someplace on a bench. And Jesus showed up to him and said, "You need to go through the water." And then he disappeared. And we didn't really understand what that meant. Bob thought, well, does that mean I'm going to drown? Am I going to die in the water? What does that mean? And we talked about it, and we tried to surmise what it was going to be, but it was that, Bob, you just need to come to church. You need to be there, because this is, you're part of it. You're part of us. You're part of the bride, all that. So when I was preparing, it hit me that that's what Jesus was telling. He was telling Bob that he had to go through the baptism of suffering and death in this life. And wow, that's amazing. And as soon as that happened, and the gift that I've been given is the ability to think of someone and they appear in front of me. I was sitting at my desk and Bob appeared right in front of me, and I didn't even ask him. I remember thinking it. And not even, and he said, I found out as soon as I got there. My question was, did Jesus tell you, did you understand what it meant when you got there? And he said, Jesus told me as soon as I got there. And I thought, oh, that is so absolutely beautiful. And then you think about it. What a blessing to have that given from the Lord Jesus. So it was beautiful. Okay. So the next opportunity was for about a period of 3 or 4 weeks, I wanted to call Trump because we know that it's been really difficult for him. And you know, we remember him, and it just seems like every time we talk, it's getting weaker and weaker and all of it. And I just wanted to talk with him, give him some encouragement, just, you know, talk to my friend. And every time I thought of it, something else just took place, and I just kept going. So I finally, the thought came, and I had a half-hour drive. So I called him, and he said, well, that's fantastic that you just called, because typically, my phone is across the room, and I can't even get to it. It was 11:30 in the morning, and he said, I just stopped working for the morning, and I had my phone in my hand when you called. And, you know, he said, isn't it amazing? Our Heavenly Father just gives us those experiences and makes it work for us because it's supposed to be. So then we started talking about how he's doing. And at that point, he was having a rough time. And he's going to share some things as well. And please, John, crisis, interject as you want to. So we started talking, and I said, how are you doing? And he said, it's tough. It's really tough, and it's slow, and I'm getting slower, and it's getting harder, and I can't even get in my bed by myself. And then he was kind of telling me what he had to do. He pulled his legs up, and he couldn't even get them in. And then I was reminded of our healing masters and what they can do when we conduct the healing. And especially when we talk with Nuke about the things that he sees and what our healing masters are able to do. And I said, no, they are there to help us. And then I shared a really silly experience, and I'll make it shorter because we were selling our house. I bought ground cover for everything. I didn't buy enough. I didn't have enough. I had to get it done. And I said, okay, guys, I need help. Let's get this done. And in no time, I was finished and I had enough. And so at that time, my team, my protection team, stepped up, and Sylvia was with us then too. She's back. And we were able to do it. So I said, you know, that's a natural, almost silly experience. But I said, you need help. Ask your team to help. You think they can't grab your muscles and make them work, put them in bed? And so then I never really did follow up, you know, whether he was able to do that, it worked. But we have faith, right? So then we talked a little bit more about that, and he said, well, I'm just trying hard, and I'm really trying to do it, and I just can't seem to get it right, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. And I said, why do you think you have to do it all? None of us have to go through any of this stuff all by ourselves. What makes you think that you would have to? He said, well, yeah, I guess I didn't really think about that. I said, that's what we do. We are human. We are like that. We forget that we have help. We have our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, our protection team, our healing master, our guardian friends and teammates and other family, everyone. We're all here together to depend on each other. And so then we were talking about some more things, and we would talk about something and say, yeah, I'm doing this. And I said, well, what about that? And he said, yeah, but. And then, yeah, but. And I said, you know what? Every time we say but, Satan smiles. Because that's what he needs. That's all he needs. It's a little in. And he agreed. I mean, and it was a phenomenal question, and it had nothing to do with what I was giving because HS was throwing all the stuff out, and I was even thinking, oh, this is awesome. I didn't know that. I didn't think about this, but it was really beautiful. Tracy, would you like to share anything?
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, I never really had my phone near me. It's sitting across on my bed because I just don't need them sitting in one room. But I literally picked up the phone and he called. So it was quite interesting. Most of the time I'm missing phone calls. Like I missed his text today or I missed somebody's text, but we talked and it's funny. I felt bad, not because of what he said, but because of my loss of faith in what Father has given me to use. And I felt bad for a second. I thought, no, that's just the spirit. That don't feel bad, feel enlightened, feel encouraged. And I've had a couple times where I can't get my legs in the bed, and that's scary. I've been very independent, even though I've been handicapped. I've not had anybody to help me with moving. I mean, obviously transferring into a wheelchair or getting in and out of the car or, you know, something like that. But usually when I close my door or if I'm in my room, I'm pretty independent. That feeling of, oh crap, now what? That's the first time I've been scared in 10 years. So when he said, why can't you get your guys to help you? I laughed because I thought they don't help at light switches. they won't turn off the light. And I'm like, well, why should I ask them? They're not even going to bother with the light, right? But it's been only last night. I mean, and what's funny is I figured out so here's the human brain, right? If I sit too close to the railing in my bed, I can't swing my leg back far enough to get enough momentum. So in my mind, my human brain, right, I'm just not doing it right. Not that I need help. It's me again. And I thought that last night. I went, no, I should ask him for help every time. Because I was doing it religiously for 2 weeks. And last night, I'm like, I got this. And I couldn't get my leg into bed. And I'm like, holy crap. I guess I don't have this, right? So even, and I'm going to write a note. I'm actually, because my brain, the doctors say the disease is not getting into my head and it won't affect my memory. I even asked a neurologist, she goes, I think it's just because you're getting older. I'm like, shut up. I am not getting older. She goes, isn't your birthday next week? I'm like, no, it's not. But I have to write a note because with everything that I go through, everything is a calculated movement. Everything is so human and so physical. And so I can't, to focus on the spiritual, it now takes an effort. So I'm going to write a note to remind myself to ask for help as I'm doing it. And,
I wanted to make sure I don't forget to say this because you said, well, Father did say it was going to get worse before it gets better. And I said,
yes.
There's our hope right there. Are you kidding me?
No, what you said was awesome. I'm like, what a jerk. What? And then you said, well, think about it. If it didn't get worse, then it's not progressing. And now go ahead what you said.
Yeah, if it doesn't get worse, I mean, since it's getting worse, then there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We have hope because Father said it's going to get worse before it gets better, and it's getting worse. So we can look forward now to it getting better.
Right. And again, the reminder, and it's interesting, the team, right? We're a team. We forget we're a team. I forget. I'm going to just say me. And I even said to Dan today, we talked because I didn't see his text for some stupid reason. I literally had my phone in my hand and the phone didn't chime or anything. He's like, so he called me, he goes,
because
we were
supposed to talk.
Yeah, we were supposed to talk. And I'm like, apparently I didn't. I had my phone in my hand, So we talked and even with that reminder, it's like, we're a team. I talked to several healers, look at my brain, guardians over the last month, and it's been interesting. I've talked to more in the last month than I have probably in the last 6 months. And don't get me wrong, we text everybody. I mean, I text even last week when I was supposed to be on the phone for the meeting. And I didn't move the reminder. And it was a nice thing to chat with everybody. I'm like, oh, well, I'm still chatting with everybody, interrupting everybody's evening. But, we're a team. And we can't forget that. And I have to remind myself, and I will write notes as soon as we get off the phone, half sheets of paper, to remind myself of that. And, everybody has those motivational posters and the one with the defiant rat with his hand in the air, defying the eagle, if everybody has seen that one, like in the motivational posters of the Katie hanging on, everybody has those, but we should make a new guardian set of motivational posters,
We're holding each other up.
Yeah, we're all holding each other up with our own hands, holding each other up. I don't know how you could draw that, but, we're all supporting each other at the same time. And I feel it. Don't get me wrong. I feel everyone's prayers. But this is a great reminder that we can take away is that we're not alone. It was literally and figuratively and spiritually, however you want to describe it. Because I can feel, and I know when everybody's thinking about me or Father's there, and we can feel that, and you can't discount that. So thanks, Dan, for being there, and I really appreciate it. I'm actually going to have to write everyone's names down, their guardian names, because I'm forgetting. I can barely remember my own name. So I apologize if I'm not using everyone's name. But,
we're all in this together. Cool.
Say it again.
We are all in this together, and we have to hold each other up. And the bottom line is, their Father and Jesus, and HS, and Guardians, our team. And I mean, it's just, Father doesn't expect anybody to do it by themselves. In fact, he kind of wants to be involved in every step. Nice.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm going to have Starlight share with you some information, too. One of the guardians asked me, if Father said that Starlight doesn't have MS, why is it that we're telling everybody that she has MS? Interesting thing is that the doctor said to her, with what you've currently experienced, what you currently have could be the cousin of MS. And so when Father was very adamant about the whole idea that she doesn't have MS, the doctor said, for me to provide the treatment that you need to prevent any flare-up or any of the things that could be going on with you, even if this is the cousin to an MS, he said, I have to diagnose you with MS so the insurance company will pay for your treatments. And like I said in the email, her treatments are about $60,000. I would like to thank everybody. First off, for your prayers and your support.
You cut out.
We'd like to thank everybody for your prayers and support. It has not been easy. And I know that because we have all of you, it's been a little easier. And I know a number of you actually came to the hospital and visited her. And I wanted to say thank you for that, because that was above and beyond. But we have Father, who stands by our side, and he will always be there for us, as we heard. Now, Starlight went through a number of things. I asked if she would first explain to you how she's feeling, some of the treatment that she's having, and then I'll ask her to share an experience she had with Father and Jesus while she was in the hospital. So go ahead, hon.
Hi, everyone. Thank you again for all of your prayers and just all the support that you've given me throughout this time. So I am feeling good. It's sort of a day by day thing. It's a very interesting disease that it is. It has multiple facets to it. Sometimes I feel really exhausted. And I'm sorry that I laughed, Trisus, when you were saying that your brain isn't working, because that's completely how I feel. So I write notes about everything.
Yeah.
I have my own little notebook that I jot things down, or I'll be in the middle of a sentence and I forget what I'm even talking about. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's not. I've had my moments. I've had my pity party for 20 minutes by myself because I couldn't eat macaroni and cheese because I bought the wrong kind and it wasn't gluten. So that was what broke the camel's back. And so then I went and had my pity party for a while, and then I was fine. I pulled myself together, and here we go. But
she made it the next day.
I did, too. It was really quite funny. And I walked downstairs, and Trylan looks at me, and I said, all I needed was macaroni and cheese, and we would have been fine, you know. But anyway, so, but it's, I have, it's, you know, things could be a whole lot worse than what they are, really. I mean, it stinks having a disease. But, you know, I feel vindicated in ways because I have felt like garbage for, you know, for years, at least 3 years, if not longer. I've had symptoms that, you know, the doctors can't explain. We've seen multiple doctors and everyone basically told me that I'm fine. So I was living like I was fine, but really I was in, you know, tons of pain and just strange things, you know, dizzy spells and feeling like a semi-truck hit me for no reason. My hands, I finally have a diagnosis of why I lost some of my control in my hands and in my arms. And that happened a couple years ago. We thought it was just carpal tunnel, but it's actually when I had one of the flares that I didn't know that was a flare, and that took out my hands. So, I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is, and it's scary at times. It's frustrating at times, and and like Trisa said, you have to. I talk to my body. I let my legs know that we're going to walk today, and we are going to move, and this is what's going to happen, whether you like it or not. I never could understand necessarily what he meant by that planning your moves. And however you move around the house and how you do things, that kind of overtakes, and it's completely exhausting. But, you know, it's fine. It is what it is. So I'm getting used to it, and hopefully, I plan on getting back to where I was, if not healthier. My plan is, and I've talked to my physical therapist, and I think that everyone in the nurses in the hospital and everything, they were fantastic. But sometimes I think they look at me like I'm crazy because I have a positive attitude and I take no prisoners is what I say. So my therapist, I'm hopefully on Wednesday, I'll be starting occupational therapy and that will help me restore part of my hands and get some of my grip back. But currently I'm in physical therapy now, so we're working on my balance because when this first happened, I was walking around like the way that I can describe it in my brain, that I had a fishbowl on my head, and my balance was so far off that I felt like I was drunk 24/7. So when I would walk, I'd be, you know, just sort of skewing all over the place, but that seems to be getting better, and I've stopped some of my allergy medication because that apparently has an impact on some things too. So just relearning a lot of things, but you know, I am blessed. That's all that I can say. And I, you know, it's a blessing, and I'm thankful for the experience and kind of going back around to what Q was saying and Trisus was saying is that we're not alone in this. And I think I know that has been the greatest learning experience and the greatest, it's very humbling knowing that there are people there that I don't even know are praying, and there's such a support out there. And even my family, it's made a huge impact on my family. And, you know, crisis always brings people closer together, but My family has really grown in their faith, and it's an amazing experience, and so that's where I'm at. hold on one second. So I'm going through physical therapy, occupational therapy, and we're waiting in process of the pharmaceutical company got a hold of me, and they are in process of contacting my insurance company so I can get infusions once every 6 months to suppress any flares that would happen, because every time that there is a flare, if there is a something will be taken away. They said that what happened with me, so I have, let me start over. I have a couple of lesions on my spine, and I have one, maybe two spots on my brain. So when they did my first full MRI of my spine, and that was over 2 hours long, and I'll come back to that. And then there was a MRI done of my brain that had like two spots on it. And then they did a spinal tap, and nothing was pointing to anything significantly. So they were on a fact-finding mission and ruling out things. So that's why it took so long to get all the information back. So one of the greatest things was that they had me in and out of a CT, to have the CT scan, you know, in 10 minutes, and I knew that I didn't have a brain tumor, and they did my blood test, and I didn't have cancer. So, hey, I was miles ahead right there. So, so I really thought, because I was suffering from such terrible headaches and dizzy spells and all these things, I thought that I didn't want to say anything.
You cut out on.
Where was I at? That I thought I had a brain tumor?
They didn't hear that you, yes.
Okay, so I at one point I really thought I probably had a brain tumor. So when they came to me and said that my CT scan was clear, that was a huge relief to me. So basically when I went in, I was numb, and I say numb in the sense I could still walk, but I don't know if anybody's had dental work done and they numb your mouth and with Novocaine. That's what I felt like from my rib cage down on my body. I could feel pressure. I could feel hot and cold sensations. I could feel tingling, but everything else was numb except for the back of my thighs. So that's pretty scary. One day you're a completely healthy person and you can stand and walk and be normal. And then, you know, over a couple day period, it moves from your feet all the way up there. And so anyway, I'm grateful to be able to walk and to, you know, hopefully have all of my capacities back. They said that I should get back at least 80%, or hopefully 80% within the first 6 months, and then the next year and a half, maybe another 10%. But like I told my therapist, I'm going for 100%, if not even more. And he said that he loves working with neurological patients because we are motivated. Rather than, you know, some of the people that come in with chronic back pain or arm pain or whatever, because they're just, you know, they're just there. So, okay, now to circle back to a little bit more with the spinal MRI. I never would wish any of these tests or anything on anyone, but I was in the MRI machine for 2 hours. It was so hot in there. I've never sweat like that in my entire life. But when I went in the machine, I knew that I had to hold still, and I laid laid still for over 2 hours. I had my hand on my hip. I had my other hand on this emergency squeeze ball that they could rip me out of there. And then they had me medicated with some Valium because I'm claustrophobic. And then I was in, you know, excruciating pain in certain areas, but then I was numb in other areas. And I was, you know, and the funny thing is through all this, I wasn't terrified or scared or anything. I just knew it was in Father's hands and Father's got it. And people looked at me like I had three heads because laughing and smiling and, you know, knew, and I'm very confident that everything was going to be okay. And if it wasn't okay per se in my plan, it would be okay in Father's plan. So So before I went in for my MRI, I talked to my dad, and he gave me some helpful advice. They said, you know, they give you some, you know, a mask to put over your eyes, and you can listen to music. And he said to me, he says, now I go golfing. He says, in my brain, he's, you know, and I'll go do a, you know, 9 holes of golf, and have to be able to clear your mind and be able to go somewhere else. I'm like, okay, you know. So I, when they put me in there, you know, I had the music going, classical music, and I was hanging out with Jesus, went right into the center of my mind, and we were sitting in the lawn chairs in the front of my house, and it was cute. At one point, we actually went golfing, and we said this was too much work, so we threw our golf clubs and went and just sat and had some lemonade in the lawn chair. So I spent time with Jesus, and then I would go see Father. I'd go right to the throne room, and I was, you know, and him and I were talking, and he said to me, let me stop. This is where my brain's kind of going all over the place. So I spent time with Jesus. I would go see Father. Then I would come back to Jesus, and I was just going, you know, going back and forth whenever I needed things, or, you know, when I was having conversations with them. And then they had to put in contrast into my body. So now the only time I'm moving is when I'm breathing. So I couldn't move my feet. I couldn't move anything because I wanted these scans to be perfect. And I knew that they were, you know, they go section by section. So I just didn't want to have to go through it again. So now the way that they have me, and they're moving and sliding me in and out, my body is now moving. And so my head is in like this plastic, I don't know, it was like a rubber plastic thing, and it was holding my head still, but then it was digging into the tops of my shoulders. And then because it was pushing into the tops of my shoulder blades are going now into the back of the MRI machine, and because they need you to be in one spot, because they're basically taking slight, you know, pictures of. So I'm now in excruciating pain, and so an hour and 40 minutes now they're pulling me out, and about 10 minutes before they pulled me out, they're talking to me. How are you, Lauren? I'm fine. I'm fine. That's all I kept on saying. I'm okay. You know, and I was standing in front of Father about 10 minutes before they pulled me out to put contrast in, and I was in so much pain. I was just standing there in front of him, just exasperated. Like, I thought I was going crazy because it was so much pain, but I knew that I had to bear it because I knew I had to get through this. And he says to me, he said, there are going to be times when you have to dig beyond yourself. And he said, and these are the times where you're not alone. And he said, you look at me, and I'm looking at him, and he says, you are my princess. He says, you are my princess. You are my warrior. He says, you are my warrior princess. And he says, you will fight, and you will fight this. And I'm just, okay. You know, and he says, you need to go and find a place inside of yourself. He said, that you have never been. He says, and I know you can find that place. He said, and you need to dig, and you need to dig deep. He said, because you can get through this. Even though you think you can't, he said, you will. He said, and because you are not alone. He says, I am with you, and Jesus is with you, and the Holy Spirit is with you, and everyone around you, you know, essentially, you're not alone. He says, you'll never be alone. And so then they come out of the machine. They put the contrast dye in, and then I knew that I only had 20 more minutes because they had told me it was going to be just over 2 hours. So they put me back in the machine, and at this point I'm like, okay, I can do this. 20 more minutes. 20 minutes. I can, you know, there's an end. There's a means to an end. I can honestly tell you that was the longest 20 minutes of my life. I have never felt the pain and the anguish that I had felt just laying there and knowing that you had to do something and you had to bear something, because, and it was a physical fight, but it was an emotional fight, a spiritual fight, and, you know, just a mental fight all at one time. I've never honestly ever experienced anything like that. So I would spend time with Jesus, but then in those moments where I was about to give up or about to just literally go crazy and insane because it was just, you knew you had to do it, but you couldn't give up, I would go in front of Father and I would just stand there and just stare at him. And I went to this place inside of myself in this mental, it's very hard to describe, and I'm sure some of you have probably, maybe all of you have been there, but I haven't. But I went to this place and Father explained to me, and I'm not putting myself I'm not putting myself equal with Jesus or anything, but Father said to me, he said, this is what Jesus did when he was put through all of his trials and when he was on the cross and when he couldn't bear anymore. He said, where do you think he went? How do you think he did this? He went inside of himself and then he came to me. And so his body was physically there, but mentally he took himself outside of himself. And he said, he came to me. He said, and he was able to bear it. He said, and this is what you're doing. This is what you're learning. He says, and you need to learn this because there will be times in the future that you're going to need this and you're going to have to do this because you will not be able to endure otherwise. So then I get through all of that and then they pull me out of the machine and they start taking everything off of me and I could barely breathe. And I was so emotional. I just broke down. And the people who did the MRI, they were everyone at the hospital was amazing. And they just look at me and they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. I just, you know, they're like, are you? And I'm like, I'm fine. I just hurt. At that moment, it was more of just the emotional experience and what I, you know, the conversation that I had with Father and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it was just, I was just very overwhelmed, and I was able to, you know, pull myself together, and I was just exhausted from the day as well. But it was truly, truly an amazing, amazing experience. And like I said, at the end of all of this, you know, it's truly, truly a blessing, and I'm very humbled by all this. So I think that's
Thank
it.
You. So in that same vein, Father made the comment that the trials and tests are for mankind, but also I'd like to point out that they're for our perfection. And as Starlight kind of elaborated a little bit, they're also for other people too, because I can tell you that the nurses and the doctors, when they would come and call on her in the hospital, they would linger and they would talk with her. And we even had two nurses that probably spent over 20 minutes in the room. And at one point they looked at us and went, we don't even want to leave. And we looked at both of them and went, don't you have other patients to take care of? And they went, no, we're good. We're all caught up. Everything's fine. And we discussed things with them and we shared a situation, and Starlight can elaborate on it.
Oh,
when you saw, go ahead.
I forgot. So much had happened. So
this
I was
you paying
in
the big bucks.
You know, it was quite the experience. So I was in the emergency room and they are doing various tests. And, you know, I talked to I don't even know how many people, but they were asking me, you know, what happened and how is I feeling? And, you know, what is my family history? And do I know of anybody that has any autoimmune disease? And you know, it was just like repeating and rehashing and, you know, of everything with different caseworkers and different doctors and nurses and things. And there was a woman that came in and I'm laying there and they had gone through and, you know, they're pushing on my legs and poking me with things that I couldn't feel. And then I look over and this woman asked me, she says, is there anyone in your family that has ever had any autoimmune disease like lupus? And, you know, same questions again. And I'm looking over at her and I'm like, no, I don't believe, no one. And then all of a sudden my grandmother showed up, who's my mom's mom. I never actually met her. And she died from complications of lupus. and I had completely forgot. She had passed away, I believe, when my mom was around 10 years old. And she had shown up and stood right next to that doctor. And I looked at her and I knew exactly who she was. And in that moment, I knew, I'm like, oh, I do have somebody who has an autoimmune disease. I said, I completely forgot. And so then I was able to share that with the doctor, that information. It was important to have that piece of the puzzle. And then later on, when I got admitted into the hospital, she showed up, and then she actually brought my grandfather with, who I haven't seen since he passed quite a few years ago as well. And she was busy. It was actually when Q was there. I think it was the first visit that he was there. So, but yeah, so that was very, very interesting. Quite amazing, actually.
We got to share things like that with some of the nursing staff. And the other thing that was interesting was her mom and stepdad came and visited, and when we would share different information with them, her mom, whom I've never heard talk of her faith, said, "Praise Jesus." And I kind of looked at her funny. She goes, "No, I'm being serious, Jim." And I went, "Okay." She goes, "No, we need to praise him because he's helping her." I nearly fell off my chair. And also the nice thing too was, Lauren doesn't really have a relationship with her brother, but this brother of hers contacted her twice, and at the end of the phone call said, "We're praying for you." So I looked at her and I said, "Can you see how Father engineers things?" And even Father said too, when this whole thing started, he said, "It is not always about you or her. It's about those lives that you come in contact with and the lives you touch that will be brought closer to me because of how you two act." And I'm throwing that out at all of you. It's not just about us. It's also about you. It's how you control yourself in a situation. People are watching you. You know that. Never forget that. They want to see how you shine in a good moment, but they also are watching you when you get into one of your ugly moments. And you and I can define to them who we are with our character by how we suck it up and deal with things. And I'm just going to say I'm very proud of my wife with how she's been dealing with all of this. And even some of the doctors and nurses said, when she would go, "Well," because we still didn't have a diagnosis yet, she said, "Well, when you find out what it is, could you just let me know? Because I'm not going to start worrying about something that's not even there yet." And one of the nurses looked at her and went, "We wish we had more patients like you." That's such a wonderful attitude to have. So if you and I can stay in the positive even when we're going through a difficult time, and I'm not going to tell you that Starlight and I didn't break down and we didn't get frustrated and we didn't get aggravated. We sure did. We're incredibly human just like you are, and we all go through difficult things. But the one thing that Father continually reminded me of is that when we go through something, it's for everybody around us. And because you and I have been given the responsibility to save mankind, this is a big deal, and we talk about it all the time. So I appreciate everybody, what you do for Father and for Jesus and for the team and for us, your prayers. Even Starlight said, "I can feel everybody's praying for me." And even when we were in the congregation today in Holland, a number of people who we really have never had a conversation with went out of their way to say, "We're praying for you," and even gave her a hug. That just is amazing. Anybody have any questions, anything at this point?
I got a quick question.
Sure.
So Starlight, as you were talking, you said Father mentioned to you that when Jesus was going through his suffering, he said, "This is how Jesus handled his suffering. He went inside of himself and then came to me." So the way I took that is that when Jesus was here in human form, he had to meditate just like we do to contact Father. Is that right?
I don't know how to answer that.
He probably had a lot of,
yes.
He probably had a lot of,
yes. I mean, he would have to remove himself from his physical being to be with him. Like he could, what it was is what was different about my experience with being in the MRI machine. It was like, you know, when you go into your house and you're there, like that's what I was experiencing when I was with Jesus. But with a thought, I was casting myself to Father. Like, I was in that moment, I could be right there with him. And it was completely, I don't want to say it was completely different, but it was different. House, and I'm, you know, we're in lawn chairs and all that. I was casting or projecting myself right to him. I was right there in that moment.
Right.
So I'm a, yes, I would.
Something about that, because basically what, so if you think of it this way, meditation is a tool that we used and use to be able to get to see Father, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And so the bottom line is, when we, it's like, we don't, I mean, all we have to do is do it and we can see Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we had to learn the meditation and all of that. So, it's not really the meditation itself, because Father's available. But it's the way that we learned how to do it. Isn't that about it?
It's the venue that we use to get in front of Father. And Jesus is behind me, and he said, yes. He said, I did the exact same things that all of you were doing to go see Father.
And I can tell you, when I was in those moments of like this excruciating pain and mental anguish, it was a place that I hope that no one ever has to go. But when I was standing in front of Father, I couldn't feel any of that. It was truly an amazing experience, and I don't even have words for it. But then it was like I could regain my composure. I didn't feel the pain that I was having. It was like I was escaping out of that moment, and I was in front of him, and he was making everything okay. So then I would have enough strength that I could get through those moments, and then I could go back and I could see Jesus and just spend time with Jesus. And then when it would get too much, I could project myself right back in front of him again. And I stood there for, you know, a very long time. And there were times where him and I would be talking, and then there were times when we weren't, and I was just standing there in front of him. And it was just enough. And I don't even have the words for it. It was quite miraculous.
I can share that experience is different. I'm able to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
because there's times where I have to work to get centered, to get grounded, to get this, to get that. And when I'm there, I can still feel my body. But then there are other times where I'm like, and I'm there. And like you said, you don't feel the physical pain.
Mm-mm.
It's a very odd sensation, because it's not like you're sleeping. It's not like you're dreaming. It's a very ethereal. It's very cerebral, however you want to say it. It's different. And the peace that comes over you, that's how I know I'm connected. And the first time I did it, it's so funny. If you can imagine in a movie, where a guy's learning how to transport for the first time, and he transports and arrives like on his knees and stands up. That's how I first arrived doing it. And God goes, "Well, look at you!"
kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the first Terminator movie when he showed up.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
only not.
Were you wearing pants?
I wasn't that buff and naked, but you know, it was like I befuddled my way into the situation, and every time I did it after that, I mean, at one point he even said, "Why do you do it the other way?" You know, because it's this mental process. It's so belaboring,
mm-hmm.
and just show up. You know how to do it. And I'm like, I keep forgetting I know how to do it, right? And if you guys can figure out how to do that, it's a different experience to where the physical goes away. And I'm not going to say time doesn't pass, because you can feel it, but it's different. I mean, Trilin, probably you're looking at us like, ha-ha, finally, you know. But, you know, and maybe everybody else has experienced that, and I'm the last one, or Starlight's the last one.
No, I'd have been the last one.
You know, it's different, and it's just a thought. It literally is just a thought, and the Father's almost surprised, like, hey, you know, obviously he's not surprised, but it was just funny the first time I did it. He goes, "Look at you." So it's a great experience. I can't describe it at all.
Yeah, it's
you're dead nuts on.
Thank you. I have one more thing I'd like to share, and then I ask Trisus if he would pray this evening. Because of the situation with Starlight, as she said, I'm her chauffeur, so I've had the privilege of driving her to work to Kalamazoo, and she's the director of a daycare center, and I always knew that she's in a difficult situation because she takes care of 100 kids and over 20 teachers, and my boss has been incredibly understanding through this entire process that he has allowed me to work from home, and also I can work from the hospital when she's having PT and OT, and I can work from Starlight's work as well. So last week I actually set myself up on a table in the back of one of the rooms, and I was surrounded by different classrooms of children, which I now affectionately call the eighth layer of hell, because it's that loud and it's that noisy and it's that disruptive. And I put complete pog shields around myself, and I too have been physically suffering with migraines and headaches. And I thought I had a sinus infection last Monday. I went for an MRI, or not an MRI, sorry, a CAT scan. And then I saw the ear, nose, and throat guy on Tuesday, and he looks at me and goes, you have absolutely no infection. What you're probably having is horrible, horrible allergies. So Tuesday, I'm going to go see a different allergist to see if they can do something for me. So in the meantime, I have been off of all my antihistamines, which is why I sound very congested and I am feeling like crap. But anyway, so that kind of adds to the level of frustration. So at one point, Starlight says to me, there's a kid in my class who's autistic, but I get the feeling that there's something there, but I can't see anything. And I said, okay, here's the new technique that I want to share with you that I thought was very effective. I looked at the child, and I created a pog shield around the kid, and then I started to squeeze it. And all of a sudden, two little demons popped out of his aura, and I took their heads off. And then my wife brought to my attention another child who is just a horrible, horrible liar. Sorry, she's a horrible, horrible liar, and she's deceitful. And I looked at her and I went, this little kid? That she goes, you should hear the lies that this child strings along. And I look at her at one point and go, just be quiet now. That doesn't sound right, so let me look at her space. I did the exact same thing. Create the pog shield around the person, and then use your mind to constrict it. It's not going to hurt the person. But as you're squeezing their aura, again, three demons popped out, and I took their heads off. So give this a whirl. If you have an impression that there's something in someone's space, but you just can't see it, and you can't pinpoint where it is, this works. It's crazy. But anyway, does anybody have anything else they'd like to add? Anything. I don't care.
We would all like to wish you a happy birthday for tomorrow.
No. Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Cool. So for about the past month, I've been feeling my pulse in my right ear at random times, and it's been making me dizzy and nauseous and a whole bunch of stuff. And so I went to my primary. He said he couldn't really do much. Everything looked good. So he sent me to an ENT. They did a whole bunch of tests. They said my hearing was good, the pressure was good, and it kind of worried them that it was just on my right side in my right ear. So I am having an MRI. I don't know when yet. Insurance bills to call me, but just wanted to let everybody know.
We sure can pray for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll be praying.
Mm-hmm. Keep us posted, please.
I will.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Trisus, if you'd be so kind.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank thee so much. It's been a great hour, and we look forward to thee so much. We thank thee for being here with us. We thank you for the experiences. We thank you, Father, for always being faithful, and we sing those songs, and all these years, I've always made fun of, like, of course he's faithful, but it's astounding how patient you are with us and how you're always there. And And we truly thank you from the bottom of our heart. We never feel alone, and sometimes we feel like you're right there, which is hard to explain to folks that don't have a faith. We ask, Father, that those that we deal with that can see with us, the work friends and the coworkers and the doctors and nurses, that we can really share with them our faith. And even if it's just on our behavior and how we act, that's great. But maybe there's an opportunity to even share more, and we live for that. We love being able to talk about you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to other people, but sometimes people look at us weird, like, oh, you're one of those, and, which is so disheartening. We pray, Father, that we will always be able to know that you are there, and that we can feel the confidence to be able to share that with others and be the example. We pray, Father, for the strength to do that and be able to have the wisdom when it's necessary to speak out, and also the wisdom to shut up. That's more my problem than anybody else's. But we thank you, Father, for letting us be able to have the experiences. And even when we think we're down, we're not down, Father. We're just having a little blip. There's so many troubles and so many things that others go through, and our heart breaks. And we pray for them, Father, that they can have a positive experience. We know you're with them, Father. We don't have to ask you. We don't have to ask you for angel protection. Most of what we ask for is silly sometimes when I look back and try to think about what I prayed for. But we should be praising and thanking you all the time. But we know, too, when we ask that you will grant it, and we thank you in advance for that as well. We pray, Father, for the team. We pray, Father, for the individual lives and the experiences for everybody on our team and in our family, Father, that we can do what's necessary to keep your plan moving forward. We never want to be a hindrance, Father, that we can always be a positive. And if we do slip, Father, we thank you. Even today, we had our sins forgiven and got communion. That's such a wonderful thing, Father, and so many people take it for granted. We thank you, Father, for that. Again, we look forward to Sundays and being able to be with each other even once a month, to hear each other's voices. We thank you, Father, for the insight to be able to hear and see what's needed to be able to help those. And even if it's just a prayer or a thought, that we can send that out. We pray, Father, for the different circumstances coming up. We thank you, Father, in advance for that as well, to get the strength. And the different situations where we've prayed, Father, and put something on your altar from somebody else, Father, we thank you for that as well. We pray, Father, for the strength physically and spiritually to be able to get through these times. We pray, Father, that we can understand what's needed and be able to enact on that without hesitation. And that's the key, Father, that we don't hesitate, that we can be who we need to be for your plan to move forward, for our family, our friends, and for your work. We thank you, Father, and we love you. And we ask this all in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Kind Father, we add our thanks as well. We are very thankful for the friends that we have that surround us, and you heard the conversations we had tonight. Some are asking us to remember them for medical procedures that will take place, so we include them in this prayer that you'll provide comfort to them, that they need not worry about anything, that you'll bless the hands of the doctors and their eyes, that they can see as they read the MRIs and anything else that needs to take place, that they can find out what the problem is and provide a solution. And pray also, Father, for the families and their difficulties and the struggles that they have. You know, Father, everything that is needed for the newborns and the mama, that they can heal up and be grown healthy and strong. But too, Father, there are little concerns that rest on the hearts of those of our friends that are here and their wives and the spouses that, Father, has not been expressed to us, and they don't need to be, but they have spoken to you about it, and we just want to bring them to light here because we have that opportunity. Provide, Father, everything that is needed. We have our birthday tomorrow, and we have a wish. And our wish is that you would provide to every single one of our friends here and family members the ability to overcome themselves, and that we can become the guardians that you need us to be, and that also, Father, we are all able to be found worthy when Jesus is sent, because we would all like to go home. And that is our birthday wish. So we pray, Father, for your blessing on our evening here. We're thankful that you spent the time with us. There is a peace in our hearts, Father, that sometimes we can't even come to understand. And it is in these little meetings that we have that we laugh, we joke, but we also learn, and we get to see each other's hearts, especially yours. Thank you for everything. Cover anything we've forgotten, and according to what we ask, in your name we bow. Please hear us, Father. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone.
Amen. Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
Love you all.
Everybody.
Have a great month.
Bye.
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 Bye.